And with a look in the backcountry on the phone from the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center, Greg Gagne, good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Yeah, cold front finally started to move through early this morning, about 4 or 5 a.m. Temperatures are finally below freezing. We got quite a bit of water since yesterday morning, 1 to about 2.5 inches of water, not snow, water, over the past 24 hours. And yesterday, the rain snow line was about 9,500 feet. But it's dropped to about 6,500 or 7,000 feet as of this morning. A couple of inches of dense snow has fallen overnight. Not much out of this so far. So yesterday's rain led to some natural wet activity at the lower and mid-elevation. Otherwise, it was a pretty quiet day. So we have a complex and uncertain setup in place, leading to an overall considerable avalanche hazard. It describes three problems. So the first is storm snow. Winds are expected to diminish, continuing through the morning hours. We're not expecting to get large amounts of new snow out of this, but periods of heavy snowfall this morning may create some sensitive soft slabs as well as fresh wind drifts, especially above about 9,500 feet. I think any of these sensitive storm slabs or wind drifts will be most sensitive this morning, and they should stabilize during the afternoon. Secondly, deep slab. 1 to 2 plus inches of water over 24 hours. It's a pretty rapid loading event. And with another possible half inch of water weight this morning, this may be enough to get our deep slabs reactive once again. I'm especially concerned about thinner snowpack areas outside of the Cottonwood, such as along the Park City ridgeline. If someone did trigger a deep slab avalanche, it would be pretty big, 2 to 4 feet deep, over 100 feet wide, probably even larger. I'm telling everyone you're in this for the long run, so be patient, give the snowpack some time to adjust. And then finally, of our three problems, loose wet. The 2 inches of rain that fell at the lowest elevation since Thursday morning has created a really wet, soggy snowpack. So temperatures are cooling today, and that's good. We're going to get some rain turning to snow again. That's good. It's going to help reduce but not eliminate wet, loose activity. I'm especially concerned about a mid-elevation band between about 8,000 and 9,500 feet where the snowpack is saturated and deeper. And any wet slide may run long distances, even down to lower elevations. We've received reports in the Provo Mountains of wet avalanches running 4,000 feet this morning, so pretty big slide. So, yeah, bottom line is we're going with a considerable hazard. And during periods of uncertainty and snowpack complexity, the best option, just make it simple. So the best and safest riding conditions today are going to be on low-angle slopes at the upper elevations. This dense snow will be supportable and will be easy and fun moving on the low angles. Weather, we're expecting periods of snow this morning. Hopefully we'll get 3 to 6 inches out of this. It's going to wind down about midday, and fortunately the winds will continue to diminish as well. Looking unsettled over the weekend.
Okay. Hey, Greg, thank you. 8:19 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Again, 33 degrees here in Old Town Park. So it looks like the snow showers have stopped turning back to rain, but we're expecting maybe 1 to 3 inches possible of new snow here. Expected high today of 49. Park City High School students are marching with others around the world to protest gun violence. In the studio, I have a couple of the organizers of the Park City March, Maya Levine and Adam Hurst, along with Park City Special Events Manager Jenny Dearson with details about tomorrow's march. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Maya and Adam, let's start with you and maybe just tell us why this was something you felt like you needed to put together. I'm sure you've got lots of other things to do.
I think this event is really important. I know there was one in Salt Lake, and usually Park City kind of jumps on the ball with this stuff, but I hadn't seen anyone step up and begin to organize the march, so I thought, you know, what a great opportunity, and I contacted Jenny and the other students at Park City High who I thought would want to be involved, and it kind of just took off from there.
Yeah, and how about you, Adam? I mean, you've put a lot of time into this as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that it was like a really, really, you know, gun control is just really, really important, especially in this kind of this day and age where we have so many, sadly, so many school shootings. And I was using evidence for debate cases about school shootings earlier on in the year, and I had all that evidence, and it kind of perturbed me to a certain extent. So hearing that we were going to have a march and things like that really wanted me to participate more in it so that I could attempt to reach Park City folk in a constructive way.
Yeah, and you've had lots of adults that's just wanting to put their hands all over this. Why was it important that you told them to back off?
I think it's really important that this is student-run. you know, ever since the shooting in Parkland, I think it's important students take a bigger stance on these issues because, you know, school shootings, it affects them the most along with their teachers. And, you know, Park City High School has a lot of these student voices. And I think this march will be a good event for us to show our politicians and Congress these voices and what we want, and that, you know, we are going to be the new voters, and we will vote them out if they do not comply with, you know, more gun control, gun regulations, because, you know, in this day, this is what we need, because we should not be afraid going to school, going to church, concerts, etc.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, but let's get to the details. I mean, if folks want to join in, what are the details?
So we're going to be meeting up at, it's at 9 o'clock?
10 a.m. is when the march starts, but we ask people, you know, to get there earlier because traffic's going to be pretty bad, we're expecting, and to please park at Park City High School and take the yellow bus line in. It's a direct route from the high school to Main Street. Volunteers, if you are a volunteer and listening, we ask that you do show up at 9 a.m. And then at 10 a.m. we will start the march going down Main Street, walking down to 7th and taking a right through the Marriott Plaza, down Poison Creek Trail, and then we will end at the bandstand where we will have a few student speakers.
Okay, well, let's turn to you, Jenny, for just a minute and just talk maybe a little bit more about the logistics of those who need to get to the top of Main Street.
Yes, so we are encouraging everyone to carpool and take transit to the event. Main Street tomorrow morning will close at 8 a.m., so no cars will be allowed on Main Street at that time. Parking is available, as Maya said, at Park City High School, and we just want to stress to make sure you get on the yellow bus. That is the direct line. There are other buses you can take, but that is the bus that you should be taking to Main Street. From there, once you get to Main Street, you can just walk up to the Brew Pub lot. We do anticipate also some temporary closures on Sweet Alley, particularly just above China Bridge. So if you are coming into work that morning, or if you're looking to park in China Bridge, please use the MARSAC entrance for that entry. And then I think we are anticipating as soon as the march leaves Main Street and heads down to City Park, we'll open up the street and get things going as normal as possible. I do think it's also important to note that we are expecting a busy day at the resorts tomorrow, both Deer Valley and Park City. So if you're whether you're going skiing or coming to Main Street for the event, please plan ahead. Give yourself a little extra time, especially with the weather. And then I also want to mention the text alert for this event and for any transportation impacts tomorrow. We are urging the community to sign up, and that's the you can just text PC events to 888-777, and that's all the transportation impacts that we'll be texting out tomorrow.
Okay. And again, if you've done that once, you don't need to do it again.
Correct.
All right. And you're going to be running extra buses on the yellow line?
We have supplemented some extra buses on the yellow line, also working with Park City Transit to have a couple of extra buses that will be on Park Avenue for after the march to get people back to the high school. It's also a really quick walk on Poison Creek, especially for the students. It's pretty fun. You can walk back down to the high school or walk back up to Main Street and grab some lunch.
Yeah, it's about halfway. So.
Yeah.
So once you guys get to City Park, what's going to happen? Adam, I had heard that you might be one of the speakers.
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of student speakers. So we have, you know, Olivia Henry, Sadie Ortiz, Serena Haas, myself, and I'm sure that I can't remember everyone else if there are other speakers. But we're going to be speaking about, you know, why we came out that day. I believe Olivia, she's going to be singing. And then Sadie Ortiz and Serena Haas, they're going to be, I think they're doing a poem together. Mm-hmm. And then Taya Swan is also going to be speaking as well. So just some student speakers to say, like, why they're there and things like that. And I guess a little bit of a closure of the rally.
All right. And what, you expect it to last a half hour, 45 minutes maybe?
Mm-hmm. We're expecting to have it last 30 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And at one point, I thought I saw something come out that there was some rumor that it was being canceled or it.
Mm-mm. So there was some confusion with that because there were two Facebook event pages. Unfortunately, we didn't get one of those taken down in time. So when that one did get taken down, a lot of people were on it and then it disappeared. So they thought it was canceled. But if you go onto Facebook and search March on Main Park City, you will see that an event page is still up with all of the detail So no, it's not canceled, and we hope to see you all there as well.
All right. Again, top of Main Street by 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if either of you saw it, but if you did, I just wanted to get your reaction. There was a letter to the editor on Wednesday that said, if you really want to make an impact, instead of walking out of classrooms or marching, to really just analyze the odds. And teens die in far greater numbers from drugs, alcohol, and auto accidents involving those substances, as well as cell phones, than a Parkland-style shooting. Bruce Margolius suggested that you should be demonstrating against underage drinking, drug use, bullying, distracted driving, since those are the risks that you really face.
I think it's kind of premature to say that we won't face a shooter at our school. You know, we know what the shooter will look like. We know what gun he will use, and we know how Congress will respond by sending their condolences. But we don't know where. It could easily be Park City High School. So I don't see why we have to focus on, you know, just those pertaining issues. I mean, this is an issue across America as well as those other issues. But, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to go to school. And, you know, drugs don't really scare me from going to school. You know, kids aren't walking around schools being like, yo, try this drug. It's, you never know, a student could pull out a gun. So I think it's really important that we do focus on this issue.
And would you like to add anything to that, Adam?
Well, we have a lot of clubs at our high school to pertain to drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And we also have, you know, comprehensive driver's ed. And we have a lot of programs already in place against, you know, making sure that students are safe against drugs and making sure that students are safe in automobiles and making sure students are safe in general, except in the realm of gun control and except in the realm of school shootings. So I think that, you know, us using our democratic rights to go ahead and advocate for gun control is one of the best ways that we can go ahead and advocate for something that really, really does affect us and teachers the most. We have so many other programs for those issues, and a lot of students do take out severe actions against those kind of things with, you know, clubs and programs, but you don't hear as much with gun control. There aren't clubs at the school against for gun control, more so against, you know, drugs and alcoholism. But I think gun control has mainly been left alone inside of schools, we've come to a kind of a tipping point where that needs to be addressed, and now we're just using our democratic rights to go ahead and promote gun control.
Yeah. I'm guessing this could make a really good college essay, just your experience doing this. And I guess, I mean, that's what I would ask you now. I mean, what have you two learned from this process?
A lot of things. First off, when I kind of signed up and stepped up to be one of the organizers, I knew it was a lot of work. I didn't know it was this much work. And I know I haven't even done, you know, half of it. There's so many more details that, you know, Jenny and the city have helped us with and to set this up. But so really it's taught me, you know, how to be more of a hard worker, time management, you know, and even though I am young and I'm a student, that sometimes my voice is diminished because of my age. And so that at points I do have to step up and take a stronger voice so I am heard just as equally as the adults.
And Adam, any insight for you?
Well, firstly, weather hates any progressive march on Main Street. and I think secondly, I was kind of surprised to see how many allies were around us, you know, adult allies around us for gun control. I assumed that a lot of people were kind of just thinking that, you know, we students were deviants and we're all running around and, you know, protesting is just an excuse to get out of school and things like that. But I saw how many allies that we had in the older community, and I thought that was absolutely amazing. Going to City Hall and talking to Andy Bierman and then the other city council members, and seeing how they reacted towards the march positively, giving us, you know, the route that we wanted, giving us a higher, a larger fund than we wanted or that we had originally asked for. But, I mean, seeing how many allies we had was absolutely amazing. So I guess it just put a little bit more trust inside of the adult community and things like that, and also in our student community, seeing how many students were allies towards us and seeing how many students really, really cared about these issues.
Okay. Anything else you two wanted to add?
We hope to see you all there, and if you have any more questions about the march, to look on the Facebook page, and you'll find info as well as emails that you can contact for more information.
Okay, Jenny, anything you need to add?
Nope, we'll see you out there tomorrow.
On Tuesday, Park City hosting an open house featuring a number of different departments who will have an update on some of the projects and the works in the studio. With an update on that, I've got Public Utilities Director Clint McAfee, along with Community Engagement Manager Linda Jager. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Clint, probably the most expensive projects coming out of your department this year. That'll be the Three Kings Water Treatment Facility. Let's start with that. When does this actually get under construction? I know it's been like a multi-year process to get to this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've been preparing for this project for at least 5 years, shoring up our other sources while we take the existing Spiro plant down to reconstruct it. So we've been constructing or improving Quinn's Creekside water treatment plant off Holiday Ranch Loop Road, all in preparation to take Spiro down. The plan right now is to begin demolition of that in late 19 or early 20, with the goal of having it started up in 22. We are in the process right now of finishing schematic design on that facility in preparation to submit to the Planning Commission this summer. So we're just kind of getting it out there with the residents and the community. We have concept drawings, architectural renderings. And one important thing to note is our plan is to not impact the golf course at all permanently. There might be some construction impacts for a couple of years, but our goal right now is to keep all holes on the golf course open, both during construction and then unaffected after construction.
Okay, so this year, this summer, will we see that golf maintenance facility go away?
Yeah, and that's part of it. So right now, I call it the Spiro campus. There's a water treatment plant, there's a golf maintenance building, and a parks maintenance building. So we're moving the park staff over to the Iron Horse facility. We're going to do some minor improvements to that facility to accept their crew. It's about 30 people in the summertime and a lot of equipment. The golf crew, we are building a new facility for them on the golf course between the driving range and hole 10. That's also going to go before Planning Commission, before the treatment plant does. And that facility could start as early as late this year or early 19.
Okay. What about the public utilities building that you were talking about building out at Quinn's? Where's that in this process?
So that, I think, got delayed for a couple reasons. I'd say the first one was the acquisition of the Mine Bench property that happened when we finalized that late last year, late 2017. That comes with a lot of space that we were needing and we were planning to build out at the public utilities facility. It's a 30 plus acre site. We have usable space of about 3 acres. There's about a 5,000 square foot old warehouse. So there's a lot of space that came with that that we weren't expecting until a few months before. And so that really bought us a lot of time until we need a new facility. So I'd say for now we're good as long as we don't lose any more space. But if, we lose any space at Iron Horse or the Mine Bench or any other location, the public utilities facility is absolutely needed.
Okay. And this, we should mention, the Mine Bench is just that property off to the right before you make the left up to Silver Lake.
Correct. Yeah. Off Highway 224.
Mine Road. Yeah. Okay. Another big expense, of course, the pavement projects. We've got a big one scheduled this year, Prospector Avenue. I'm guessing that's going to be the most disruptive.
In isolated locations. Our pavement management program, it's an annual program. We spend about $900,000 per year doing improvements. And it ranges from, crack sealing and micro sealing on trails to full-on mill and pave, repaving roads, depending on their condition. And what drives that program is what we call the remaining service life of pavement. So when you lay new pavement, it's got a remaining service life of, say, 20 years. And our goal is to keep an average remaining service life of all pavement in the city of 10 years. And so that's that. 900,000 a year has been kept us at that goal. So yeah, we'll see some road work around town, but similar to every other year.
All right, this one on Prospector, though. I mean, we're talking about basically digging it up, right? Because you're going to get into some utility lines in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a lot of utility work to be done. I think we're putting in fiber. But I don't think any other utilities. We were in there a year or two ago doing what we need to do from the water standpoint, replacing some valves. But the water line itself is in good condition. This project's, I think, has been on the books for 5+ years. It's partly funded by a grant with a local match. And I think it's a project to improve kind of the corridor in terms of pedestrian and aesthetics and adding some landscaping, some better bus turnouts, things
yep.
like that.
And you wanted to do this hand-in-hand with the Prospector Square property owners.
That's correct. We're mm-hmm. coordinating closely with them, both Dean and the new executive director. We're coordinating closely with them and trying to complement their long-term plans.
Okay. And they'll be joining us actually next Tuesday as well at the for that particular project.
Okay, and I was going to turn to you, Linda, next just to tell us, I mean, this is all happening over a couple of hours, an open house?
Yes, we do this twice a year, and the idea is to make it convenient for residents to come to sort of a one-stop shop to find out about all different projects happening in the city. So we'll be open from 5 to 6:30 at the Park City Library on the third floor in the community room. And we've got about a dozen different projects that will be showcased and a couple new things this year we're adding. We have a council table. So we have three council members, Lynn Ware Peak, Tim Henney, and Nan Worrell, that will be there to give an update on the retreat and talk a little bit more about the critical priorities discussion, community critical priorities and top priorities. We also have HR coming with us this year, and we're hiring. We've got lots of jobs for summer positions as well as full-time, so they'll be there to talk about how to apply and some projects. Nate Rockwood will be joining us, and he'll be our budget manager, and he'll be able to answer questions and give an update on the Arts and Culture District as well as the Treasure Hill Project. And we've got housing. We've got some exciting things happening in housing. We'll be breaking ground soon on Phase 1 for Woodside Park, and we have some initial conceptual designs for Woodside Phase 2. We'll be sharing and getting some input. Transportation will be there representing, talking about the spring transit schedule, as well as some transportation planning projects, update on the e-bike program, 248, and then also there will be some projects on 224 this summer with UDOT, so Alfred will have an update there.
So Alfred's doing the 248 update?
That's another project that we have on the books is we're going to replace all the water lines either with the project or the year before. We have a major water transmission line that we'd like to replace between Wyatt Earp and westbound pretty much all the way to the new water treatment plant. It's kind of all part of reconstructing Spiro Water Treatment Plant.
Okay. And what we had heard with the deal to buy Treasure was that the city was going to have to look at projects as a way to perhaps save money so that we would see a lower bond cost. We know that the Brewpub parking lot off the books at this point, that was a $6 million savings. But anything else that we have been talking about that may not happen as a result of trying to save money for Treasure?
One of the projects that directly affects us is the public utilities facility. I think I mentioned two reasons, one being the mine bench acquisition, another being funds kind of set aside for the Treasure. So, you know, that's not a big effect because the mine bench really kind of made us whole anyway. But as far as water and stormwater projects, those are enterprise funds and funded by a different revenue source. So I don't expect too many impacts there.
Okay. And also we'll be starting that dialogue through council meetings and budget hearings May through June. So we really encourage the public to be part of the process. And, you know, it's really at the starting point, and it will be a public discussion, an open discussion, and we'll be moving forward.
All right. And then just the process, you've got just different tables with the projects. People can walk to the ones and talk about the ones that they're most interested
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And we also have comment cards, so we encourage folks to make notes and submit them to us and so we can follow up.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Nope.
Okay. Clint McAfee and Linda Jager, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
A large inaugural charity event happening tomorrow. It's called Pink Park City. And in the studio with me, one of those who's making this all happen, it's Porter Sproul. He's the event sponsorship manager at the Huntsman Cancer Institute. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So this is the first time this event happening in Park City, but I think it's an event that's taken place at other ski resorts. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. So this started quite a few years ago in Vail, and it originally started where they were raising money for just breast cancer research. And then it expanded because it became so popular. And so it's now a huge event in Vail, something everyone looks forward to every year. And one of our patients at Huntsman, she is on our committee for planning this, but she had attended that event for the last couple of years. And she said, this is so beautiful and so important, and it's something that I'm passionate about. And so she decided that she wanted to make it happen out here in Utah, in her home city. And so she said, Park City and Huntsman, they're just two iconic brands. We should bring them together, and I know that we can do something that's just going to be as incredible down the road, like what Pink Vail is. And so far, we have just been so incredibly grateful and inspired by the amount of support that we've received. The Park City community has been absolutely sensational, and all of our partners this year have just gone all in and are completely helping us turn this into just one of the biggest and most impressive pink parties that I'll have ever been to. I actually had to completely redo my entire wardrobe to make sure that I could stick with the theme and have pink. But we have Waldorf Astoria is going to throw an incredible deck party at Lookout Cabin. So make sure that if you're coming, stop by there and engage with our friends there. It's going to be great. And then we have Diamonds Direct, who's going to help us throw another deck party on the mountain at Red Pine Lodge. And they're kind of turning this into just a big, huge diamond spread. So it's going to be super glitzy and glamorous, and you get to try on diamonds, and there's a chance to win a $5,000 piece of jewelry as well. So there's just so many different things going on the mountain, and then also in Canyons Village, where we're going to set up our base camp and kind of our base of operations. And we're going to have things like Giffen photo booths, a step and repeat banner. Bud Light has come on as a partner, and so we're doing a free beer or soda for all of our participants because of that partnership. We have a VIP lounge that has brunch and drinks and lunch throughout the day for all of our top fundraisers and participants who have come on. And it's really just, it's been inspiring to see our passion come to life and our dream for this event to be able to take root and thrive in this Park City community. And it's really been taken on as this community's own, and we're so excited to just see it grow and continue to grow and party with everyone tomorrow.
So maybe just the details. It starts right when the resort opens, and it'll go through the resort.
Yeah, absolutely. So at 8:30 in the morning. And the best way to sign up and find more information, everything online is at pinkparkcity.com. Register there, find the information, everything. We start at 8:30 is when check-in will start, and then at 9 a.m. all the lifts open, and so you can get on the mountain and you can hang out in the village area and kind of really do whatever you want at this pink party. We'll have things going on throughout the day. We have a checkpoint challenge, so getting to both of those deck parties, the GIF and photo booth, we've partnered with Bubbly for that, so they'll also be giving out some of their product, and then the Smartwool store and the North Face store. All of these different locations are doing fun activities and giveaways, but when you participate in the checkpoint challenge and you visit one of these or each of these places, you'll receive a raffle ticket for our chance to win prize drawing that has some really cool things like hotel stays, local restaurant gift certificates, swag items, jackets, everything like that will really just make this a super fancy event, not your typical just get a baseball cap from a drawing. There's some pretty neat stuff there.
Okay, and you've had actually, I guess, putting together teams and such to help raise the money. So is it too late to participate on one of those teams or?
No, so we actually aren't even closing registration. So you can register, check in whenever at the event up until 3 p.m. tomorrow when our concert starts. So we've been partnering with Park City Mountain, who have been incredible. They've donated the mountain. They've discounted lift tickets for us. And their whole staff has just really been on board to help us, and it's been an incredible partnership. But we've worked with them where we're going to have a concert with Corey Mon from 3 to 5 tomorrow afternoon. And so up until that 3 p.m. point, anyone can join and anyone can come participate. And if you don't have any pink, like I didn't a little while ago, we also have pink retail there. So a bunch of super fun, simple items like wigs and tutus and boas and just pink fur, cowbells, anything that you want to do to get pinkified with us, you're just join right in the fun.
Okay, so what's the minimum? I mean, what does it cost to register to participate?
So it's $35 to register, and then there are a bunch of fundraising prizes and perks to incentivize you to help us to help us fundraise for cancer research. And so all of the different levels that you're fundraising for and all of the teams have come together, and 100% of what we're raising is going back to cancer research at Huntsman. If you help us fundraise up to that $100 mark, we have custom beanies and skull caps that we're giving out to people, and they're really awesome. We were handing some of them out to our early check-in VIPs last night, and we just got some great feedback on them. We have custom jackets for people who help us raise $500. And then if you want to participate in the VIP lounge and get that brunch and lunch and everything tomorrow, we have you help us raise $1,000.
Okay. So again, it's beyond breast cancer. We're talking about all cancer
research.
All types
of cancer, yes.
Okay. Again, best place to go is Park City Pink.
Pinkparkcity.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three P's.
Okay.
PC. There you go. Pinkparkcity.com.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Porter.
Thank you so much.
Porter Sproul, again, the event sponsorship manager at Huntsman Cancer Institute. In the studio with details, I have Park City Mountain Ski Patroller, Kira Solomon. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this is happening this Thursday, 6 o'clock at OP Rockwell. What have you got planned?
Well, we have live music by Bad Feather, which is a band that's sold out shows at OP Rockwell in the past. And we have members of the Park City Professional Ski Patrol Association, and $10,000 worth of gear has already been donated from companies around the area. So we'll have a lot of swag. The raffle will be a great thing, and there's also a silent auction, and the grand prize is a pair of skis. I don't want folks to think that the only things there that we're raffling off are all ski oriented, because we have a lot of companies that have donated items that are not ski oriented. So, you know, there'll be massages, or there'll be, you know, food items or getaways at resorts and whatnot that are not all about skiing. So it really is something that we want everyone to feel included in. And it's also, in the past, has been a really good time. It's a party in addition to being a fundraiser.
So is there an entrance? Do you pay to get in? Do you open with the sales of the auction?
Honestly, because we have some pre-sales. The tickets are $10, and if you buy that ticket in advance, it comes with 5 raffle tickets. Whereas if you only buy your ticket at the door, it doesn't include the raffle tickets, so you'd have to pay in addition for those raffle tickets. Where you can get those tickets in advance are at Wasatch Touring in Salt Lake City, and also from ski patrollers on the mountain. So if you do come up to ski at Park City Mountain Resort, then you might be able to find a ski patroller who is able to sell you a ticket. We've been carrying them on our person, some of us. So I can't guarantee you'll get the right patroller who has tickets on them. But if you need a sure thing, you can go to Wasatch Touring in Salt Lake.
Okay. How much money are you hoping to raise?
Well, I haven't actually heard them throw out a number as a goal. But in the past, we have we've raised a few thousand dollars, and then we split that with Wasatch Backcountry Rescue, because that organization helps fund our avalanche rescue dog training programs, and they've been very helpful not only in providing great training but also providing great opportunities for those handlers of the dogs, who one handler per year is able to take a pretty great trip either to go to CARTA in Canada or Switzerland, and WBR helps make that possible. So they're an important organization that works closely with us and our avalanche dogs.
Okay, and that brings the Bow Wow into it all.
Yes, yes, that's where the Bow Wow comes in.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of patrolling season it's been? You guys have had just a little bit of everything.
It has been a little bit lackluster in that winter didn't really come around for most of the season as we expected. So we had this really shallow snowpack, and we didn't have a really great storm that people would consider like a powder day until February 19th, which is pretty late. And I think many of us were pretty disappointed. And yet, to give the resort props, they managed to get the entire thing open, mostly by use of snowmaking. So we still had all open terrain and had a good season and guests who were able to visit and enjoy their vacation because we had the snow. But we didn't really have the powder days that we had last season. And so those of us who are accustomed to that, we're a little bit disappointed, but here we are. We still have snow.
Yeah. I mean, we hear from the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center every morning, and they talk about the low probability but high consequent potential on that given kind of that rotten snow or that weak faceted layer that we've been dealing with all season long. And it doesn't really matter whether or not we've had lots of powder or not. It just seems like it's
that deep instability that remains. And while when they mention that low likelihood, it isn't very likely that a person skiing out there is. And when I mention this whole avalanche danger, that is outside the resort boundaries, just to be clear, because the backcountry skiing has to the person who is backcountry skiing needs to be very familiar with avalanche terrain and reading those conditions and staying up on what's in the snowpack and knowing about that deep instability and trying to avoid areas where they could potentially trigger that avalanche. But again, to be clear, folks who come and ski inside Park City Resort, the ski patrollers have already done their job and they've mitigated the avalanche risk so that you can ski safely in that resort and not be thinking about avalanches. Okay. Thank goodness.
All right. So again, if people are interested, it's happening Thursday night, 6 o'clock at OP Rockwell. See if you can find yourself a ski patroller. Get those advance tickets for $10.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thanks very much.
It's Kira Solomon with the Park City Professional Ski Patrol Association. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.